Welcome to Transform Now, the podcast brought to you by robotic process automation pioneer SS&C Blue Prism. Digital transformation has the potential to reshape the way companies service their customers, engage their employees, and manage their operations. Whether you're looking to develop strategies, tactics, or best practices to positively impact the future of work, or you're curious to see how other companies have successfully navigated their digital transformation programs, then this podcast is for you. We're here to help you transform now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brad Hairston with SS&C Blue Prism. Welcome to the Transform Now podcast. Today, I am thrilled to have two guests on the show from two different Blue Prism delivery partners. First is Paula Cox, VP of Business Development and Sales at Wonderbots. And my second guest is Fazia Khan, a partner in the digital strategy and transformation practice of Invoke. I'm going to be talking with Paula and Fazia about how their respective firms are working together and also hear from them about their views on trends and opportunities in the intelligent automation space. Paula and Fazia, welcome to the show. Really glad to have both of you. Why don't you start with an introduction? Let's go with you first, Paula.
Sure, Brad. Thank you so much for the warm welcome. We're so thrilled to be here. Fazia and I have been really excited with how much collaboration we've had this year. As you mentioned, I do head up business development at Wonderbots, one of your premier partners. We've worked together for a long time, and I went back into the bowels of our history of podcasts, and it looks like I was on episode 40. So it's great to still be here, have the continuity, and still be talking about finance transformation. It's a topic that I'm looking forward to discussing with you guys.
Awesome. Really glad to have you. Fazia, how about you?
Sure. So, yeah, thank you very much for having us. It's a pleasure being here and talking to two of the best people I know in the industry here. So, yeah, Fazia Khan, I am working basically more leading the digital transformation practice at Invoke. Been doing this transformation business for almost most of my career, I think. So, glad to be here, talk more about what's happening in the market, what's happening in the industry, and my perspective and take on this discussion.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, both of you are clearly veterans in the intelligent automation space. And I don't mean to say that you're old, because you're not, you're very young. But you are veterans when it comes to intelligent automation. And you also, and Paula, you mentioned this, but both of you have a really, really heavy finance transformation background, which is great. I'm curious to know right up front, what is your assessment of the current state of the intelligent automation market? I would love to get observations from both of you. So, Paula, why don't you go first?
Sure. So loaded question, because there's a lot of movement happening. I think we've seen a ton of M&A activity in the intelligent automation space. You guys are no exception to that game, and tons of new tools and ways of applying tools. So as far as maturity goes, I think we're still at the beginning of a lot of education, honestly, even though we've been in this for a while. But at the same time, we're starting to see the pendulum swing more towards the middle market. Some of the smaller businesses are kind of asking the, what's the RPA? What's the automation? What's the buzz here question? And I think we'll be seeing more models that start to form from organizations like Invoke and Wonderbots that service that market. So I'd say overall, we still have a lot of educating to do, but overall, we're past the hurdle of scared, I think, and we're more onto the conversation of scale, which is refreshing for people like Fazia and myself.
Mm. Yeah. Fazia, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say that this whole intelligent automation market is ever evolving. It's never ending, and it's evolving at a very fast pace every year. So when we say word maturity, I guess it's subjective, right? I think from where it was 10 years back, it has matured a lot for sure. I think more from the perspective of awareness. Initially, people didn't even know what it was. I definitely think we have come a long way on doing that. From the pendulum of maturity itself, it depends on which sector you're talking to. For finance transformation, I think it was always the first thing that people talked about when they talk digital transformation. So I think in finance area, you will see that maturity, there, it's a little bit more mature. I wouldn't say fully mature. There are still a lot of companies, mid-market, for example, still kind of learning their ways towards it. But overall, I think there's from the awareness perspective, yes. But from the implementation and tactical and really understanding as to how to capture the best out of it, I think there's still a long way to go. Again, technology is evolving every other day. The definition is changing every other day. So it's hard to keep up with the pace and really get to the bottom of it. But the term intelligent automation, there has been lots and lots of discussions. All the industry gurus have been talking about it. So everybody likes the jazz word, and it's becoming very popular. In every discussion, you will find it from that perspective. But from the, I think we still have a long way to go and a lot to achieve as we move forward from this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Fawzia, let me ask you about something. I think you would agree, virtually every company on the planet has bots or digital workers on machines somewhere. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the surveys that the analysts and the big consulting firms conduct, most of them say that the majority of companies really haven't built a capability that they've scaled, that they've used to transform the company. They've gotten benefits, you know, they're enjoying the benefits we all know about, but they really haven't gone all the way to bright. Why do you think that is the case?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, I always think that a little bit of we are to be blamed for that as well. I think when this whole digital transformation, I shouldn't call it transformation, digital worker concept came into being, yeah. I think every consulting firm was going out there and saying, this is something cheap, easy, built in, and you deploy it and you see the results. And that's what people got excited about. Everybody was trying to get captured into the market, get into the industry. And so it started there. So the concept of having transformation and digital worker were always too far apart. They were never seen as one, how you can leverage digital workers to actually do your transformation. Mm-hmm. And so we have kind of started in a little bit different way, more as kind of a new tool or new toy in your toolbox. And so go play with it and see the results. And then what? After some time, it's kind of people that didn't see any strategic value coming out of it. So there's still a lot of education that needs to be done, people to say, how can you actually drive transformation, leveraging the digital worker that you already have? That's one part of it for sure. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it, I think, is, again, the whole technology of digital worker or the bots, so-called bot, in itself is very unique to what are some of the technologies that in past organizations have been using for the transformation journeys. Whenever we talked about transformation, it was always big budget, SAP program, Oracle program, 5 years, multi-billion dollar program coming in. And that is what people thought about it more as a transformation. And the whole idea was that in those transformation, even though we say that there are people, process, and technology driving it, at the end of the day, you had a technology as big as SAP, for example, where you invested a lot of money. Mm-hmm. The rest of the organization would cater to its needs and bend backward to adjust to that technology. In case of robot, it was very different. In case of, I shouldn't call it robot, in true sense, it's a digital worker. You are incorporating a digital worker where you know that there's a lot of flexibility where the business is the one who is going to drive it, right? And then right. You can bend backward and adjust it accordingly. So there, it's a very, from the transformation perspective, it's quite a challenging task to do, where you bring in all these different sectors of the organization together to come to get to the organization, to the result or to the outcome. And I think that has been a major issue when we talk through it, because people are still trying to operate and implement it as part of any other technology transformation, which it's not, it's different. Yeah. And so there's still all these tug of war, if I may say, what comes first, technology versus process, and who does what and who owns what, and it kind of get lost somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely has been a continuous challenge as we see. I think a lot of organization has come out of it now, mm-hmm. and they found a way of coming up with an integrated chief digital officer or different part of organizations taking the lead onto this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's one of the challenge for sure here, where people have still not figured out organization-wise how we can actually own this and get the best out of this.
Right, right. Let me ask a follow-up to that, and I'll start with you, and then I'd love for you to weigh in as well, Paula. But I'd like to hear about how your respective firms are helping companies break out of their automation stalemate. They've gotten to a certain point, number of digital workers, they haven't gone further. They're not scaling it across functions, across lines of business. What's an approach you've used with success to help them break out of that. So Fawzia, why don't you go first and then we'll hear from Paula.
Yeah, so it's not easy. And I think one approach doesn't fit all. Every customer is different. Every organization is different. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to literally at the end of the day assess what exactly is the need and what the organization is trying to achieve. That's yeah. number one for sure. But usually, most of the time, everybody's looking for an outcome. And so ultimately, our approach has always been, let's talk about the outcome first, and then we'll figure out how to go towards it. And when we go to the companies, usually we take more of a top-down approach. And again, that's the only way you can be strategic about it, still getting to the outcome and not just talking at a strategic level, but also how to actually achieve the outcome and showing the path to it. And when you go to the clients and usually talk to them, the way I see, there are four things that companies are looking for. Mm-hmm. Either it's the cost savings or the reduction, right? First thing, or they would say, I want to improve the quality of work. Or it is, I want to accelerate my revenue generation. And the fourth one is obviously if there is any kind of compliance or regulatory needs. Those are the mm-hmm. four buckets. And once you kind of hone down into where the need is and what your user community is, and let's talk finance, for example, if you're talking to a CFO organization, they would usually come up and they will tell you what exactly are the goals are for that particular year, whether it is, you know, reducing their month-end close process or whether the amount of collections that's sitting on there, you know, that they need to recover or whatever that is at the end of the day. What we have done is understanding that problem and then actually coming up with a pre-built solution for that. So that way you are actually showing the technology how it's catering to getting the results that the CFO is looking for. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we have developed and we realized that being in the market for so long, and Paula can chime into this as well, there are very few common problems that every CFO has, every organization has had, mm-hmm. no matter what industry vertical you are into. And those are very common. And taking those and leveraging the technologies that we have today, we have built the solutions that cater to almost every organization, CFO organization. And that's how we kind of reach out to that. And when we show them these pre-built results, they can actually have this aha moment. They look at it and it's like, oh yeah, that's the problem I have. That's exactly what I want. So they see the result up front. And I think that has been working very well for us overall. And once you are there, then your second question was, how do you get them out of the stalemate? Because mm-hmm. we're not there to solve just one problem. But I think it actually is powerful enough to show the CFO as to what could be achieved using this technology. What's the next set of problems? Mm-hmm. So it never ends there. It always comes like, okay, you have done this. This could be applied in the invoice processing, for example, or this could be applied for your tax processing. Mm-hmm. And so that has always helped us a lot. And suddenly next thing you know that they are themselves talking about it within the organization.
Yeah. Paula, what about the WonderBots approach? Tell us about that.
Well, it's by no mistake that the WonderBots and Invoke approach are very similar. And so Fawzia mentioned a couple keywords that we've both had the same value system around, and that's pre-built solutions. And that finance transformation is always the first to raise their hand to do something because they have the most arduous work and the most manual tasks and such high volume, risky work that they have to do. So it checks all the boxes that Fawzia said, right? I did want to touch on the stalemate thing that you mentioned, because I think that's really important. I think Fawzia, you're spot on that we as an industry, you know, did a disservice by complicating something that was meant to be simplified. And how I explain robots or digital workers or whatever you want to call it, these software robots, which are sort of the precipice of your beginnings to a digital transformation, sort of like the ground zero, the foundation of what you're doing, is think of this as a human capital management strategy. Don't think of it as just a technology. Think of it as a brand new way to reinvent the way you hire, the way you plan for your workforce, the way you think through outsourcing. I mean, you're now able to outsource to the metashore, if you will, right? It's not outsourcing and nearshoring anymore. So I think there's just a lot of simplification that needs to be done for these concepts, because ultimately all we're talking about is outcomes, like Fawzia said. And I appreciate that's very kind and generous of you to call me a finance guru. I think I'm more of a CFO whisperer. And the reason that I will say I'm not a finance guru is you definitely don't want me managing your books. But what I But what I can explain really, you know, well, and what I have a knack for, and where I've had a lot of success in the CFO community. In fact, we have an event tomorrow that's on combining HR and CFO. How do these functions work together more closely using an intelligent workforce that's digital in nature? What I've really come to find in being that CFO whisperer is that because they check all the boxes of the right stakeholder, that's where you want to start. It's in their backyard that the proof of concept comes to play. They get the, you know, knock on the door. Is it okay if I take two of your analysts to do a walkthrough? Right. Then they have all the expense and tiresome exhaustion of maybe having overtime hours that they have to pay for to compensate for the person that's giving up the process, yada, yada. It goes on and on. Right. And so suddenly the person that is the beneficiary of these initial automations is also the one that's are taxed at the very beginning of this process. So Invoke and Wonderbots both, we were building different products within the same vein, all pre-built solutions, all which serve the CFO, all which serve the back office function. And what we've done is we've bundled those. And we've said, no longer do you have to have that stalemate of robots or digital workers or whatever you want to call them, because we're going to give you things to make them do. So not only are you going to have this, these licenses that you're doing, but we're going to work closer together with you, closer together with your leadership team to make sure that what we're doing with these license costs, right, well, that we're actually maximizing the value of this technology investment by loading pre-built solutions. Mm-hmm. One last thing I'll add to it is that this isn't easy. Right? There's a reason why there's an entire industry dedicated to intelligent automation. There's functional roles that cannot be replicated. It's not the same developer as a .NET person that does RPA, right? It's not the same solution architect that understood how to put together the SAP configurations to making the robot not run when it's not supposed to, or make sure that the governance is in check. So it's just very important to understand that while this is technology, while this is digital transformation, these are words we've heard for a long time, it's all new skills. It's a brand new world, right? And so that needs to be taken into consideration.
That's right. And Paula, I definitely will not call you a finance guru anymore. You'll start getting calls from family members asking you to pick out their stocks for them and stuff like that. So now as a CFO whisperer, how have you been successful at winning over the CFO in your clientele to be the true sponsors of automation? Because obviously sponsorship can come from anywhere, but I know that for you personally, you have done a lot of work specifically in the finance realm with CFOs. So how have you been able to kind of build that bond with them and enable them to really sponsor and drive automation in their organizations?
Absolutely. I love the nature of this question because it's part linear and psychological. It's the reason why it worked. And so it's actually a brilliant mix. And I hope all my CFO friends listen to this and I want to hear all their comments about what I'm about to say. But the CFO as a persona, classically, is always the one that typically has been the person that counts the numbers and has to report on the retrospect of what the organization's doing, right? Reporting on the numbers, how did we do last month, reporting out into the streets, right? And being accountable for what the numbers are. And it's only been in the last probably 10, 20 years where they've sort of gotten the empowerment from BI tools, technology that enables them to forecast more accurately, more acutely, tools that give them access to better data to be able to make strategic decisions, that now the CFO is truly being cast as the right-hand man or woman to the CEO to make strategic decisions on the organization. So very early on, I learned, if the CFO is the person that has the money, right? They control the budget. That's a really great place to start as a stakeholder. They also have a very, very big line item called human capital. That budget line item is enormous. And so they're very interested in understanding how they can mitigate what that looks like as they report out into the streets, whether you're public, private, and report to somebody, right? So whoever it is that you're reporting to, you have that. And lastly, the typical persona of a CFO is often an introvert. Usually they're very good with numbers. It's that's linear thinking. It's very pragmatic approaches to how things go. And by my sheer nature and personality, I kind of shake up the paradigm in how they think about things, right? Without scaring them into thinking it's technology. So very early on, I personified this concept of intelligent automation. And I literally, if you go to my LinkedIn, I make little robots as cartoons. And the reason I do that is to make it feel warm and fuzzy and that these are helpers rather than something super destructive, right? The other thing that a CFO classically isn't capable or isn't notoriously good at, let me rephrase that, is networking internally.
Right.
And so I go to a million conferences with CFOs set up and designed for them to peer share. And I learned very quickly that if I could just become one of their peers and share with them this awesome technology that they could have access to, and they could actually be the brilliant ones behind how the design of the process goes because they really get it. That's why they became my stakeholder. And that's why I evangelize it to them. I'd say 80% of my clients, the CFO is where I started.
That's great. Fawzia, let me ask you something. Paula mentioned a couple times there that WonderBots and Invoke have come together and have developed, you know, a partnership. Tell us more about that. Why did this come to pass? How are you guys leveraging your respective skills and solutions to be better together?
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting question. I even don't know how we came together, but the point is that we have been in the market together for many years and we have been working together for many years. I think the thought never came to us that combined forces are going to actually make us bigger, not only just us, but also help our client. So we definitely, I think, as the conversation started going and there were clients where, you know, we'll get into WonderBots and WonderBots will reach out to Invoke. Hey, you know, we have a client, they have this need. They need a platform for managed services. You guys have it. Why don't we join hands? Great. We will look at WonderBots. It's like, okay, we have a client. We got this thing and we are looking for some skill sets on the resource pool side. You have something. Sure. So we've been working through it for quite some time. This is not something new for us. But recently, I think more we realized that how much do we complement each other. And more deals we started doing that, more and more we said that we've got a lot of synergies. And synergies like obviously values the way what we value for the client and how we approach the client has been very, very similar to each other. We just talked about that, right? We were looking into solutions and outcome-based results, exactly what the team at WonderBots was looking at as well. There are solutions that we have built, not just into finance. I mean, WonderBots has definitely majorly focused on finance. We have done finance. We have done some others as well in supply chain areas and other areas. And we have this managed services platform and said, let's just try to bundle it together. And when we go to the client, like I said, it's not trying to solve one outcome at a time. You're going to a CFO organization. If you're trying to solve for cash application, you might as well solve for invoice processing, or you may as well do some reporting. And combined together, when we looked at the portfolio of product, it only made sense to actually bring these pieces together and create what we call as a portfolio for CFO, for example, solutions and putting it out there. So those are some of the key things that kind of said, why don't we go together as a team and go from there? And obviously, as we started looking into the talent that we have, and both teams have brilliant talents on both sides of the house. And we definitely complement each other because there are areas where we actually look over to WonderBots to bring in those talent and the same way WonderBots looks up to us. So it's actually, I don't know how it happened, but it naturally kind of took us where we are today. And we're very proud of it. And I think so far it has been a great year. Like Paula said, we've been doing a lot of things and I think our clients are appreciating it. And I'm sure you do too. So yeah.
I was about to say, it must be a dream come true for you because we've been both equally profitable and lovable partners to you on both sides, right? And so us coming together just enhances that tenfold. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think, and you both mentioned the pre-built SaaS solutions. That is honestly one of the things that I find most interesting. You know, the fact that you both have your own pre-built solutions that have had success and now bringing those together, making it a portfolio of solutions and starting out, you know, with it on AWS, you know, right, making it easy to consume in the marketplace, using more consumption-based pricing. I mean, there's so many things about it that I'm just really excited about. I think there's a need for it. Let me ask you both, as it relates to the SaaS-based solutions, where do you think that's the best fit for companies that are maybe they haven't started their journey, or maybe they have done a little bit of automation, but they're looking to grow at a faster pace. They don't want to put much of a burden on their IT department. Maybe they have a really small IT department, but what clients would you say or client scenarios are perfect fit with these solutions that you've now brought together and you've put on AWS?
So because these are tried and true use cases across every industry and every enterprise and every size, and every organization must process invoices and must pay their bills, right? I think it works. The democratization of these solutions, I think, is what's special about us coming together. As far as where the most ripe place for it would be, honestly, I'm seeing that the middle market is just eating this up, because finally they have access to best in breed tools. And finally, they have access to these consumption models that we've done, and they've already had investments in cloud solutions like AWS. The other brilliance that I want to just touch on in our partnership that has been huge to every conversation that I've had is the introduction of Aria Cloud, which is something that Invoke has, which really gives us a leg up for these middle market organizations that were price blocked from being able to have the best in breed solutions, both on the RPA side and the rest of the hyper automation tool set that you need for all this stuff to work, right? Like, we're talking about RPA, but let's not kid ourselves. You need some OCR, you need a little bit of IDP, some of those extra little acronyms to get this stuff to work, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I love about the fact that we have this complete suite of finance and accounting tools is that they're scalable, they're per usage, you're not beholden to an annual license cost if you don't need to be, right? And then you're consuming digital worker capacity at the capacity in which you need, right? So your total cost of ownership is right-sized in that sense. And only by this partnership were we able to, that was kind of like the missing link of our pre-built solutions, was being able to offer it in that capacity. So Fonzie, I'm sure you can add to it, but we've been doing this for so long. We're just so excited that we can actually bring them all together as a commercial offering and even give discounts to the folks that choose to consume more, right? If they're like Fonzie said, if you're gonna solve for cash application and invoice processing in one swoop, we're gonna help make that affordable for you. And not only that, we're gonna make the problem go away forever. So when you grow, Mr. Middle Market, or you get bought or you get merged, your back office doesn't have to grow as your revenues grow, right? Because we've set you up for scale. So I think that's kind of the sweet spot is using this back office solution, this bundle of finance and accounting suite. The name is obviously still in flight between both firms, but using these solutions in that space, understanding that you don't have to worry about hiring in the future as much, right? It's, again, back to a human capital strategy. And when it's used that way as a back office, I think it's really powerful.
Fazio, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think I definitely agree. Middle market is like no brainer because you haven't started and you don't have that much of budget and funding. So you want to get started. You want to get the best what's available out there in the market and all that good stuff. So I definitely agree. However, in addition to that, I definitely think, and I'm seeing this a lot, that even mature organizations who have digital worker in place are really going for it. And the reason is a couple of them, right? Number one is that as you go through the maturity, you realize, and this is an open fact by now, I think, is that majority of it's, yes, I want to do new development. I want to incorporate all these new intelligent automation technology. But gosh, the amount of effort and manpower I'm using to just support that and maintain that and deal with a day-to-day issue is just putting so much burden on me that I don't have time. So I have no way to actually take it to the next level and leverage this latest and greatest technology, which is what our solution does, because it's not just a digital worker, meaning RPA. It also brings in things like OCR and machine learning and NLP all bundled in there. So it's really an amalgamation of all these technology that is coming in. And like I said before, people are still struggling how to implement and bring this latest and greatest technology to an outcome. So this kind of a solution is a great showcase for the companies who wants to show their leadership team there's more to it than pure simple RPA and simple task. So we are seeing a lot of big companies and matured companies who RPA matured are actually getting towards it. Number one is they get to absorb the latest and greatest technology. Number two is, for sure, their total cost of ownership and day-to-day operation is gone. So IT doesn't have to worry too much about dealing with that because it's all a SaaS solution. So all managed services, right? So you pay one fee and you get the best and you move on. So I think that trend, I think, is increasing over and over again. And I'm seeing a lot of people consuming that. The third element to it, which Paula mentioned, is what we have done. And this is purely because we have been doing managed services for a lot of our clients. And this is something we built for ourselves. But the whole ARIA thing, which is a user interface that sits on top of all these different technologies to provide the visibility and transparency that you as a client wants to see. So no longer, it's like I'm in managed services, it's going into a black hole. Right. Gone are the days of outsourcing when you send something and all you get is a monthly report saying how many tickets you have opened. You can actually look and feel how the digital worker is performing on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. Not only that, you can interact with them. So that layer, the interface layer that we have built in, which we call ARIA, which is basically a single user platform across all these different automation technology, as well as providing where they are and the health of your digital worker itself, just brings in and people feel a lot more comfortable with it. So we are seeing definitely, in addition to middle market, we are definitely seeing a lot of our mature clients are going for it. As a matter of fact, I just had the conversation yesterday and was like, why haven't we seen this before? We want this.
Yes.
Yes, you want this.
I think it's a big idea for private equity too. I mean, there's so many private equity owners trying to drive performance improvement fast, and they don't want to bring in all these new technologies, things they don't understand. A very great way for them to get some of those benefits and leverage automation without having to do a lot of the heavy lifting. So I think that's a, hopefully we'll see that trend develop here pretty quickly.
One thing to add really quick too is that the type of talent that you need at the beginning of your automation journey is very different than the type of talent that you need in the middle or at scale or where you're going. It's different technologies, it's different skill sets. So the dollar sign keeps going up, 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 up if you don't have a scalable plan from the beginning.
Yeah.
And they've given us an option for a scalable plan. And the other thing is pilot fatigue. I don't know about you, Lazia, but my clients are so sick of me saying, have you seen this new toy that we have? And what ARIA allows them to do is play in your sandbox with all these different tools, get to know them, see if it makes sense. But we've given them the ability to kind of avoid pilot fatigue too, which frankly, all of us as advisors were tired of as well. So I think that's an added bonus that we don't talk about enough. But you know, when there is a new technology, we're better to test it than a premier platform.
Analysis paralysis on the technology side. That's what happens. And it's been there and people are struggling. When you talked about maturity at the very beginning of our conversation, I mean, that's a huge maturity. And it I don't even know if ever anybody's going to reach that because, again, the technology market is evolving every day. Every day there is a new tool in town.
So let's wrap up with this question. I'd like both of you to weigh in on this. What excites you the most about being in the intelligent automation space right now? And maybe a part two to that, would you recommend it to someone who's either starting their career or looking to change their career? Is this a space that you would point them to and say, go for it? So Paula, why don't we start with you on this?
Sure. So it's funny. I was actually on a flight back from Denver and was sitting next to a mom who was reviewing what looked like homework. And just out of curiosity, I struck up a conversation with her and she said, my son is in college and he's ADHD and he's just so talented, but he just can't get his grades and he just doesn't quite know how to get it. And I'm trying to help him. And I said, have you ever heard of RPA? You know, there's an academy online. There's a place that, you know, a lot of people can understand it because it's a visual component kind of learning methodology. It's not hard code. Have you ever thought about it? And I gave her my business card. And this was probably 2 weeks ago. I got an email from her today saying, thank you so much. They had signed up for a few courses on RPA to kind of understand what that looks like. So that's exciting, right? Like that's exciting. We do a lot of work with higher education, which is one of my passion projects. Because I also believe that evangelizing not only the concept of automation for enterprises and for the universities themselves and their back offices, it's for the students too. Because whether you're going to be building these robots down the road or digital workers, your colleagues are going to be a digital workforce. We are all going to be in the metaverse, right? Like that is what's coming. So what's exciting about being at the front of it is that we sort of get to anticipate all these different kind of fears and questions and speculation and how many naming conventions have we gone through? I don't even know. You know,
too many.
Exactly. But we get to live and breathe kind of the forefront of what I think is going to ultimately globalize us, because this is going to be the great connector of dots. It's going to connect systems. It's going to connect people. It's going to connect processes in a way that's revolutionary. And once everybody gets the fear out of their mind and stops thinking about it as Rosie the Robot or the big distribution arm at Amazon Warehouse Shipment Center, right? Mm-hmm. And understands that this concept of automation sits and lives on your desktop with you and just makes you a better employee, teaches you faster, gets your job done faster, then we'll all be harmonious about it, right? It won't be a constant friction of transformation. It'll just be business as usual. So I'm really looking forward to that being the case. And it's great to be at the front end of that.
Awesome. Fawzia, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I just think that there's no way around intelligent automation, period. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, whether you call it RPA or whether you call it the Siri talking to you or whether it's anything else, right? It's all intelligent automation. And kids these days, this generation is coming up and growing up with that from the day one. I mean, look at the generation 6 years back and to a sixth grader, it's very different. So You don't have any way around it. It's going to come whether you like it or not. And that's going to be the world. So answer is yes, of course, I'm very excited about it. Like Paula said, being forefront of it and kind of being leading the way. But I think for the children or for people who want to explore this, why not? The whole technology concept over here is no longer really a technology. Gone are the days when people used to scare off technology. Think, oh my God, it's all IT. It's really not. Whether you like it or not, even if you don't want to do a degree in IT, you are going to be on the other side of it, whether it's the data analytics part of it or whether it's the consumption part of it. You are in a way always attached to intelligent automation or process automation. And there's no codes anymore. It's all low code. It's all configurable. It's so easy to do. And so I'm very excited to be obviously part of it. Transformation has been my core thing from the very beginning. I still love it because right now it's becoming more and more intelligent automation than anything else. For anyone who is interested and want to change their career, 100% go for it. I don't think it's not a rocket science at all. It's going to be the way of life. And you just want to be ahead of the curve. So definitely encourage everyone, whosoever can, learn about it and go into it. Don't be scared of it, for sure. Yeah,
just said it. You just take a peek at Glassdoor and see how many positions are available for it. It's crazy. You just can't avoid it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this has been a ton of fun, Paula and Fawzia, as I knew it would be. So I just want to thank both of you for being on today. Your respective firms, WonderBots and Invoke, are such great delivery partners for Blue Prism. And now the fact that you've come together and formed this strategic partnership to broaden your capability and broaden your reach in the market, I mean, that's really exciting. So I wish you both the best with that. And thanks again for being here.
Yeah, we're very excited as well. Thank you so much, Brad, for your time.
Thanks for tuning in to Transform Now. For more insightful discussions on digital transformation and more, check out our podcast channel where you'll find all of our previous episodes. And to make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast player. And if you like what you've heard, please leave us a review. For more information about digital transformation and the future of work, check out blueprism.com to learn how SS&C Blue Prism's digital workforce is enabling enterprise transformation now.